Welcome to another episode of Preferred Walk-On, PFF's College Football Show. I'm your host, Max Chadwick, alongside my co-host, Dalton Wasserman, producer Eli back there in the studio. Dalton, we got a kind of makeshift PFF studio right now because the PFF NFL pod basically took all of the equipment with them to Las Vegas. They're doing shows in Las Vegas for the Super Bowl right now, so obviously go check out their shows. Doing a terrific job, but man, we got like a handheld mic that I positioned on my water bottle right now. I'm hoping it doesn't fall at all, because of course I will blow out not only your eardrums and Eli's eardrums, but all the listeners and viewers' eardrums as well. So I'm kind of crossing my fingers and toes that doesn't happen. But we got a very special episode today, Dalton. Not really a college football centric one. We're kind of, you know, stealing some content from NFL Stock Exchange, our sister channel here, the NFL Draft Show for PFF, and doing our first 2024 NFL mock draft. So I'm very, very excited to get into that. And we've had kind of some draft takes already, man. But now it's kind of time to put up or shut for now and you know, see where we go for every single one of these teams in this first round.
Yeah, and improvisation is kind of the theme today between your equipment, and I think we have to make a point. This is not predetermined at all. We're doing this live right in front of you. Max has half the teams. I have the other half, and we're just reacting. This is actually like a live mock draft. We don't have this written down anywhere. We don't have this, you know, predetermined, any of that. It's happening as it's so. If Max throws any curveballs at me, you know, I just have to react to it and improvise from there. But no, this is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun for the next couple of months doing these.
Dude, I can't wait. We obviously have some more NFL draft content coming, especially a video coming later before the draft, where we're going to do a mock draft, but everybody in college football is eligible. So I'm very excited about that as well. But this one, just a regular mock draft. Just, you know, all the guys who are in the 2024 NFL draft are going to do that. And yeah, man, so let's get it going and pull up the PFF mock draft simulator, which you can find only at pff.com as well. I think it's the best mock draft simulator in the game. And here it is right here. All right, just kind of preface this mock draft and what the stipulations are. So there are no trades in this mock draft, although you can make trades on the PFF mock draft simulator that you can see right there. You can trade players like Justin Fields with what Chicago might do at number one overall. You trade your picks, obviously. So please check out the mock draft simulator. It is the best in the business. It is phenomenal at pff.com. But for us, at least, there are no trades in this mock draft. Don't want to make Eli work too hard back there with all these things. But so no trades. And also, this is what we would do in the mock draft, not what we think is going to happen, because we're still, you know, 4 months away. The combine still hasn't happened yet. We still have no idea how these teams feel about players. This is what we would do if we were the GMs of all 32 of these teams. So with all that being said, I have the first overall pick. I have the odds pick odds picks in this mock draft, and Dalton has the even picks in this mock draft. So I have the number one pick, which is the Chicago Bears via the Carolina Panthers. The kind of debate for Chicago has always been, do you stick with Justin Fields or do you take a quarterback? I am of the opinion that you take the guy that Eli's pulled up right there. You take Caleb Williams. One, I think Caleb Williams is a bona fide franchise quarterback prospect. I think he's one of the best that we've seen in years. He has 3 years of elite production, super high ceiling with elite tools that you've seen. He's had elite grades in every single year of his career, dating back to his true freshman season. In fact, his true freshman season is the highest grade that we've ever seen from a true freshman quarterback, even beating Trevor Lawrence. Lawrence's grade in 2018 when he was fantastic for Clemson, winning a national title. So Caleb Williams, man, one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen in college football in the PFF era. I think you take him here, not only because I think Caleb Williams is a franchise quarterback prospect, but financially, I think it makes the most sense because you have to pay Justin Fields now probably around $40 million a year. He's probably going to want the Daniel Jones contract, if not a little bit more than that. Whereas Caleb Williams, you have him on that rookie quarterback contract window. This is a Chicago Bears team is kind of rebuilding right now. So kind of restarting the clock with a rookie quarterback contract, I think, is the way to go here and trading away Justin Fields. So I'm taking Caleb Williams with the first overall pick, and I feel really good about it, honestly, too.
I agree. I think it's the right move. I think, you know, I think obviously there's potential with Fields, but I don't think we've seen enough from him as a passer in his first three seasons to think that the Bears can ride with him for another 5, 6, 7 years on top of, like you said, what they're paying him. And this opportunity is just too good to get a guy like Caleb.
Yeah.
So second, Washington Commanders in a similar spot. A lot of people reading the tea leaves. Oh, they hired Cliff Kingsbury as their offensive coordinator. Maybe they trade up. Let's say here that they don't and Caleb goes first. I think obviously we're looking at another quarterback here, right? They just need that centerpiece. They tried to kind of budget it with Sam Howell and Jacoby Brissett last year. They need a star at that position. They haven't had one really, you could argue, since RG3's rookie year. Kirk Cousins was solid for them and they let him go, but they need a culture changer. They need a star. And the debate here is obviously between Drake May and Jaden Daniels. I'm actually going to lean in on Jaden Daniels, the Heisman winner. I think he's got Lamar Jackson type of ability. The most explosive runner in college football this year, the best dual threat in college football, really the best player in college football this year, as we had in our top 101. I think with the way Cliff Kingsbury wants to run that offense, he's going to create a lot of space. There's going to be some quick game. They are not devoid of receivers either. McLaurin, Dotson, Curtis Samuel, they've got guys to work with, and they might even pick up another one or two later in this draft. They also need some offensive line help. And I just think Daniels, with as much space as Kingsbury is going to create in that offense, and I don't think Drake May is necessarily the quick game passer. He's more of a vertical passer. I think Daniels might be a slightly better fit here, and actually with his mobility may have just a tiny, tiny bit of a higher ceiling, whereas May is a little more of a classic. I kind of like the Big Ben comparison with Drake May. I think Drake May is awesome, but I think Daniels, for what I feel like Cliff Kingsbury is going to try to run, is a little bit better fit, and I think just a much more dynamic player than they've had in recent times in Washington.
Yeah, it's interesting because, weeks ago I would have said you're crazy for this, but there have been a lot of NFL draft analysts who have put this in their mock draft. I think Mel Kiper has done this before, where he put Jaden Daniels number 2 overall. Lance Zierlein has just put Jaden Daniels in his recent mock draft number 2 overall, too. It's becoming more popular than you might think that Jaden Daniels might actually be the guy for Washington. Before we move on to number 3, Dalton, you mentioned the Cliff Kingsbury connection, how he was USC's senior offensive analyst this past season, quarterbacks coach for USC as well. Obviously, he worked with Caleb Williams last year. A lot of people, including myself, kind of reading the tea leaves on that and saying, hey, Washington might be thinking, okay, we can get our guy in Caleb Williams. To move up to number 1, which is what they're going to have to do to get Caleb Williams, most likely, PFF's salary cap analyst Brad Spielberg said that he thinks it would cost the number 2 overall pick, the number 40 overall pick, which ironically belonged to the Bears at one point before the Montez Sweat trade, so the Bears would get that pick back, and it would cost next year's first-round pick, 2025. Would you do that if you're the Commanders, or would you do that for the Bears even too?
If I'm the Bears, I'm absolutely doing that. I think that trade to just move down one spot and still be in a spot to take Daniels or May, if I'm the Bears, I think that's a huge win, just like last year's trade was a huge win. They still end up with Daniels or May, or unless if they decided to keep Fields, that's a huge win, and they could still take Harrison second, right? Mm-hmm. Washington giving up next year's first is hard. I to move up one spot when I'm just of the belief, and I know with Kingsbury, maybe look, if you believe Caleb Williams is the fit, the guy you have to have, I get it. I would understand it. I'm of the belief that these three guys at the top are very, very comparable. I think with the right fit with any of them, you could win with any of them. I think that trade on the surface for me is a win for the Bears. I understand Washington's angle on it, and if they really want to keep Williams with Kingsbury. But I think that's a better trade for the Bears, the way you just structured it, than it would be for Washington.
Yeah, it does sound like a lot just to move up one pick. However, I will say I'm of the belief, I'm kind of disagreeing with you a little bit. I think it's a pretty clear number one guy in Caleb Williams. And I think after that, I would probably say he's a pretty clear 2 and then a pretty clear 3. So I would understand it for both sides, honestly. I think it'd be almost a win for both sides. But I don't know if I would do that if I'm Washington. I don't know if I would do that if I'm Chicago either. But honestly, if I'm Washington, I probably would. In Chicago, I might not, because I really do think Caleb Williams is that special. So, all right, so Caleb Williams, number 1, Jaden Daniels, number 2. This, to me, is a pretty easy pick. And here at number 3, I'm taking Drake May to the New England Patriots. They need a quarterback badly. I even would take, I again, like I said before, I think it's a pretty clear 1 with Caleb Williams, pretty clear 2 with Drake May, and then a pretty clear 3 with Jaden Daniels. I would even take Jaden Daniels here at number 3, even though I don't think he's the third best player, let's say, in the draft. I think you can make an argument for Marvin Harrison Jr., who I'm sure we'll get to in just a second. But with how badly the Patriots need a quarterback, with how, you know, Mac Jones just has not looked like the same quarterback he did at Alabama or even his rookie season, you got to take Drake May here, who, again, I think is a steal for New England, and you get the most important position locked up for the future. I think this is a home run pick for New England if it actually does happen this way.
Yeah, I agree, for sure. And I don't think they can – I'm with you. I don't think they can go wrong with either one that falls to them. They just – the biggest difference for me with May, I really like. I think in cold weather up there in New England's going to hold up. They do need speed at receiver. I don't think it's going to be – if this is the pick, I don't think it's going to be a smooth rookie year for May. But the contrast in Drake May's arm strength and Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi's arm strength makes this just a completely, just a huge improvement for them as far as, like, even if they had speed at receiver before, Mac Jones just could not stretch the field like that. Drake May gets them back to being able to work vertically the way they used to with Tom Brady. He can make every throw on the field. Don't get me wrong. I have nothing, absolutely nothing against Drake May. He's got an absolute rifle. Most big-time throws in the country over the last 2 years. I think an A-plus pick here. I just think it's what they need. New coach, new quarterback, let's reset, let's go in New England.
Yeah.
So next, you just mentioned it, Arizona at four. Looks like they're keeping Kyler Murray, I don't know about for the long haul, but certainly for 2024. And I'm going to do the obvious. It's everybody's been mocking it. I think it's too obvious. Take the number one receiver in the draft. Take Marvin Harrison Jr. here at four for the Cardinals. Just the ultimate pedigree with a Hall of Fame father, spectacular route runner, spectacular hands, really good after the catch, at least 4.4 speed, if not 4.3. Pretty much everything you could want in a wide receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr. They haven't had a number one receiver really since prime Larry Fitzgerald. Gave up a first round pick for Hollywood Brown. Hasn't gone the way they wanted, but Brown is still there when he's healthy. Trey McBride really broke out at tight end for them this year. And I think the addition of Harrison and a little bit better play from the young players, especially Paris Johnson and the O-line, actually could make the Cardinals – this move could make the Cardinals a low-key, kind of dangerous offense. I think when Kyler got back last year, they were quietly kind of a dangerous offense that was just missing a threat like this. They have a long way to go on defense. It might even be, you know, where they go with the second pick in this first round, but taking Harrison here is way, way too obvious to pass up.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you keep Kyler Murray. Like, there were rumors before Kyler Murray came back from injury that they might, you know, when they were picking the top two, like, they might take a Caleb Williams or Drake May to kind of reset the quarterback window like Chicago. But Kyler Murray came back. He looked really good. You already have him locked up in a contract too, which is probably pretty difficult to trade away. I think it's a smart move here to take Marvin Harrison Jr., especially here at four, where the top three quarterbacks are off the board. I think it makes a lot of sense. And Marvin Harrison Jr., I think, is arguably the best non-quarterback in this draft. And I think you make an argument with the next guy who I'm going to pick here at number five. We actually said on the show, Dalton, before it became a really popular trend, Brock Bowers to the Los Angeles Chargers. I actually wrote an article you can check out at pff.com about why the Chargers should pick Brock Bowers before it became this popular thing. And now Greg Roman, the new offensive coordinator, we all know how much he loves tight ends. We all know how much Jim Harbaugh loves tight ends as well. You know, Michigan this year ran 12 personnel, which is one running back, two tight ends, on 49% of their plays, which is the highest rate in the Power 5 this past season. And they also, over the last, let's see, since he was hired at Michigan in 2015, I believe, he has targeted tight ends, or Michigan's offense has targeted tight ends, more than every team in the country besides Iowa. Only Iowa targeted their tight ends more than Jim Harbaugh's team since he became Michigan's head coach. And just to remind you guys, the tight ends that Iowa had in that span were George Kittle, TJ Hockenson, Noah Fant, and Sam Laporta were the tight ends that Iowa had in that span. So Chargers, man, they need tight ends. They haven't had a really good tight end since maybe even Antonio Gates. I mean, Hunter Henry had one good year for them. They need a tight end. Harbaugh loves tight ends. Greg Roman loves tight ends. And then also, Brock Bowers is the best tight end prospect we've ever seen in the NFL draft, and the best tight end that we've ever seen in college football as well. So I think it's a home run pick. And I know some people who are out there are saying, okay, you know, tight ends aren't as valuable as receivers or someone like that. I almost disagree with that, man. Look at the value that Travis Kelce brings to that Kansas City Chiefs offense. Look at the value that George Kittle brings to the San Francisco 49ers, both of them playing in the Super Bowl now as well. I think they are extremely valuable, and I think that they're more valuable than people think. And I think, you know, I'm mentioning him in the same vein as Travis Kelce and George Kittle, and people might be like, oh, roll their eyes at that and say he's just a college player. Like I said, he's the greatest tight end prospect we've ever seen. There's a very good chance he could join that elite group with those two. So I think this is a home run pick for the Chargers. I think it's a pick that Jim Harbaugh actually will make too in his first year as head coach. And I think this is the next best friend for Justin Herbert here at five.
Yeah, totally agree. I think it's no coincidence your final four teams, their tight ends, they were, like you mentioned, Kelce, Kittle, and don't forget Sam Laporta and Mark Andrews. You could argue right now the four best tight ends in football. I think it causes such matchup problems, and those guys get in the slot and stuff so much more often now. That I'm with you. I think that's an A-plus pick. It makes too much sense. I remember them back with San Fran with Vernon Davis and Delanie Walker. Just unstoppable at times. A great pick. Giants here at six. Lot of needs, right? They were our lowest graded team overall, despite having six wins. Quarterback injuries, offensive line injuries ruined their season. There's a lot of people going, you know, I've seen a lot of mocks saying offensive line for the Giants here. I think it's tough when you have Andrew Thomas on one side and Evan Neal, yeah, who struggled through his first 2 years, but he's not, the clock's not like out on him yet. I think it would be hard to replace him, or he's kind of a little too tall to move inside the guard. I don't think offensive line is the pick here. I think what the Giants need with these three quarterbacks off the board. Now, if one of those top three quarterbacks were to fall for any reason, I think the Giants start thinking about it. But for me here, I think the pick, you need something explosive. I think you need a number one receiver that you haven't had in a long, long time. Look, if you're going to ride with Daniel Jones for one more year, you need a playmaker. They just don't have one. And I think for me, Malik Nabers from LSU fits, man. They need speed. They just need that guy. And you and I agree that actually Nabers this past year was the best receiver in college football. We thought he should have won the Blitnikoff. Speed, route running, just the most disgusting stop-start ability in this draft. And I think a movable, one of the things for me too with Nabers is getting him in the slot where, like, where, you know, Brian Daboll, like I remember with Stephon Diggs, had a very movable chess piece, right? Nabers can be that guy. He can put Nabers anywhere on the field and he can succeed. I think it's too obvious. To me, it's too obvious a pick. I think Nabers is the pick here. They so badly need an explosive playmaker. Nabers is it.
I agree with that. I think Malik Nabers is the guy for the Giants here at six as well. I think that's a pretty clear pick. I think here at seven, man, I think it's a pretty obvious pick as well. I know they just took Peter Skoronski last year. He played guard for them. He looks really good at guard. This Tennessee Titans offense, man, they need to just keep building this offensive line. And I'm taking the guy who I think is pretty clearly the top tackle in this year's draft, and that is Joe Alt from Notre Dame. So Joe Alt, you know, 85-plus grades as both a pass blocker and run blocker this past season, only tackle in the country to accomplish that feat. Last year, highest graded tackle in the country as a true sophomore. As a true freshman, he had like an 80 grade, which is one of the best we've ever seen from a true freshman tackle. This guy, like Caleb Williams, like Brock Bowers, just 3 years of elite production ever since he came into college football has been fantastic for Joe Alt. He's got the bloodlines as well, John Alt. And the other thing that I think makes me think that Tennessee is really going to be taking a tackle in this year's draft, their new head coach, Brian Callahan, who was the Bengals offensive coordinator, shout out Eli, he hired his dad, Bill Callahan, as his offensive line coach. If you don't know, Bill Callahan is one of the most legendary offensive line coaches of all time. I think Bill Callahan's going to have his sons here in the NFL draft and say, hey, go get me a tackle. You know, go get me a Joe Alt or someone like that. And like I said, I think Joe Alt's a clear top guy. And, man, can you imagine, you know, a Titans offensive line that maybe was the worst in football a couple years ago, you get an offensive line where you have Joe Alt at left tackle and you have Peter Skoronski at left guard. That's nasty, man. So I think Joe Alt here, I think this is a home run pick. I think he's going to be available here. And if I'm the Titans, I am sprinting that card in if he is available here at seven.
Yeah, moving Skoronski into guard, I think he had some difficulties at times with the transition, but he showed a lot of flashes in pass protection, and that left side would give you a real foundation. The Titans are a long-term project, and I think Joe Alt's a guy. I've told you he might be the safest pick in this draft. Yeah. I think the Titans going the safe route here, taking who we think is clearly the best tackle, is a good move. Moving forward to Atlanta at eight, this I think this starts. This is where it starts to get hard. There's some real decisions. They do have some needs. They definitely need another receiver. They definitely could use a pass rusher, one more pure pass rusher. The high blitz rate last year. I think Atlanta's defense was actually kind of underrated, though. Mm-hmm. The run defense was really good. Adding Jesse Bates changed the whole thing. But I can't ignore the fact, to me, that they would have won that division last year if they had anything at quarterback. Average. If Atlanta had an average quarterback last year, they would have won 10 games. They would have won that division.
Uh-huh.
Elite, top five at least, offensive line. Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and Bijan Robinson. Look, Bijan, you know, there was controversy about his usage. Elite running back. He's probably a top five running back next year, if not already. Their defense is solid. They need to continue to work on it. They have a decent amount of money to work with in free agency. I would look there. I'm going quarterback here.
Wow.
I think for me, the pick is going to be Michael Penix Jr. Or it should be, I should say. Behind that offensive line, I agree that, you know, the next two quarterbacks, Penix and Nix, are going to need to go to teams with good offensive lines, good pass protection. I think this fits Penix. I do. I think, you know, whatever offense they're about to run with Arthur Smith gone now is still going to involve a heavy dose of the running game. Get behind Chris Lindstrom, hand the ball to Bijan 20 times a game. Penix was the premier play action passer in college football last year. He's going to be protected. He still has London. He still has Pitts, big targets to work with. Do they need one more, probably like a little bit more speed at receiver? Yes. But I would go with Penix here, knowing that he'll be protected. And it could be argued mentally that he's the most pro-ready quarterback out of all of these guys. He was calling plays off the wristband. He was operating under center a lot at Washington, making NFL-type throws. It's into single coverage. I would go quarterback here. I think for the sake of Atlanta, I think drafting Penix and filling in some other needs in free agency could have them on a road to winning a division title next year.
That's interesting. I know that's higher than people think for Michael Penix Jr., but I kind of love it, man, especially when you think about what he did this past season with Rome Odunze, who's a great contested catch like artist, honestly. He's one of the best in the country at it. You get him with Drake London, man, who's another 50-50 ball guy. That is awesome, and I love that with Kyle Pitts as well. I agree. Now, I wanted to bring this up before we move on. Do you think Atlanta, instead of taking Michael Penix Jr., do you think they should trade, say, their second or third round pick and go get a guy like Justin Fields and get him back in Georgia where he's from?
That's the big variable. I don't hate that. I think Atlanta is also the best fit for Fields with the O-line and the potential. I mean, if you've got Fields and Bijan in the backfield, that's crazy. That's just nuts. I don't know how you defend that. That I'm riding with this being that we have no trades yet and we don't know Fields' situation, that they don't have a – now, if they have Fields, this changes. If they have Fields, I'm probably going pass rusher here and maybe thinking about Odunze. If I'm assuming they don't have Fields and we've made no trades yet, I need a quarterback. I need Penix.
Interesting. Yeah, Odunze is kind of a weird fit for them too, because he's kind of like another really good contested catches. But like, I just don't know if you want like three guys who are going to be like contested catch guys with him in London and Pitts. I don't know.
I would. Think about it this way. I think if you're sitting there, let's say they have Justin Fields, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fields, Bijan, London, Odunze, and Pitts sounds awfully dangerous to me.
That does.
I would take that.
Okay. Yeah. So speaking of Rome Odunze, I'm actually going to do that right here at 9. I'm taking him here with the 9th overall pick to the Chicago Bears to pair him with Caleb Williams. So you get him, you get Caleb Williams, you get DJ Moore. That's it's dangerous trio right there, man. So I think that this is the pick here for Chicago. I also, like Dalton, was considering a pass rusher here, but I just don't think there's an edge that I would take over the top three receivers in this class between Harrison, Neighbors, and Odunze. I think all three of them deserve to be top 10 picks. All three of them go in the top 10 here. And you just get another guy for Caleb Williams to work with. I mean, you have to build around Caleb Williams if you're taking him at number one overall, or even if you keep him Fields, man, you got to take someone to help him out too. So I know they need pass rush. I know that, but they got Montez Sweat. He performed pretty well for them this past year. I know they need another edge alongside him, but I think Romo Odunze here is too enticing for me to pass up here. So I'm taking Romo Odunze to the Bears to pair with Caleb Williams.
Love it. Absolutely love it. I would do the same thing. I think they should look in the free agent market for somebody like a Bryce Huff, yeah. for an edge rusher. Absolutely. I would go that route and then take Odunze to pair with whichever quarterback they take. I love that pick. Moving ahead to the Jets at 10 here.
Your team.
Especially with Odunze off the board, the pick is even more obvious. It's just, I know lately all of the reports and everything that Joe Douglas has been looking at says he loves Talisi Fuaga.
Oh, no.
I know he loves it. I get it. Best run blocker in the country, all that stuff. The Jets need pass protection.
Yeah.
They need a pure – they were just awful. Their lack of pass protection ruined their season this year. It's just four plays in, just ruined it. They didn't solve this last year. They've made this mistake once before, taking Mekhi Becton, the run blocker, yeah, over Tristan Wirfs, the pass protector, back in the day. I don't think they can do it again. I think, and Eli's already pulling it up there, if Olufoshanu's on the board here, I think the Jets have to take him.
Yeah, I agree.
Proven elite pass protector. I understand that Breece Hall, yes, is going to be the engine in the offense. I think there's a chance next year he's the best back in football, okay? But we can figure that out. I think they need to go in free agency and fix the interior. I like Joe Tippmann at center. They need pass protection, though. They need an elite pass protector. Fashanu right now has a much better chance of being that than Fuaga. I would be worried as a Jet fan. Like, I love Fuaga. Like, I think there's several teams in the next, like, 10 picks where I think Fuaga is a spectacular pick. I just think for the Jets, it's not the right fit. They need pass protection in the worst. You have a almost 40-year-old quarterback coming yeah. back off a torn Achilles. Oh. He's not going to be able to move like he used to. And honestly, I don't care who your quarterback is right now. Zach Wilson failed because they couldn't pass protect. Tim Boyle failed because they couldn't pass protect. Aaron Rodgers, Joe Flacco, all the 27 guys they've played in the last 2 years. The Jets right now can't pass protect. They need a pass protector. Take Fashanu.
Yeah, I don't even think it's a discussion here, honestly. I think, yeah, Fuaga's a great run blocker, but man, I mean, your season got tanked because Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles in the first game, the first drive of the season. You have to take someone to help him out there and just keep him clean. And I think Olufoshanu, there's an argument, I think, between him and Joe Alt as who's the best pass protector in the draft, but Olufoshanu, in terms of tools, he might be the toolsiest tackle in terms of pass protection. And I think this is a pretty obvious pick here. Got to work as a run blocker, obviously. He kind of struggled with that throughout his career at Penn State. But as a pass protector, man, he is lights out. And I think this is a pretty obvious pick here for the Jets. I think it's a great pick. All right, number 11 here. Dude, this is impossible. The Minnesota Vikings here are on the clock. No idea what they're going to do at quarterback, obviously. With Kirk Cousins now as a free agent, will they bring him back? Will they not? I don't know. There's talks about them potentially trading up to get one of the top three quarterbacks in this draft. Eli's got Harrison Mevis up there. Maybe I'll take a new kicker.
You replace Minnesota. My FAU guy, Greg Joseph. You're going to do that to me?
I know.
Man, killing me.
But, oh my gosh, man. This is awful. Not radio, but this is just terrible to listen to right now because I'm kind of stumped. I'm not going to do it. I would have considered Michael Penix Jr. I'm not going to take Bo Nix here at 11. I don't think I can do it. I'm going to take a guy who I just think is a better football player. I'm going to take Cooper DeJean here for the Minnesota Vikings, who I think they need a corner. Mekhi Blackman had a pretty good year this year, pretty good rookie year. But other than that, I mean, Byron Murphy did not play well. Caleb Evans does not look great. Andrew Booth Jr., that drafted, I think, second round a couple years ago. He has not really done much in his career yet. I just think Cooper DeJean is a guy who could fit in any scheme. I think he is the top corner probably in this draft between his tools and what he can do for a defense. It's tough, man. I'm going to take Cooper DeJean here at number 11 to Minnesota. I'm going to pass on a quarterback, and I'm going to go with who I think is the top corner in this year's draft.
All right.
Would you have done that?
That's a hard one because they could still improve in a lot of areas. Funny thing. I love DeJean. I think there's certain teams that fit him. I don't think that is I don't think that's the best fit for him.
Interesting.
That might have been a spot where I go D line or I go with Nate Wiggins there.
Interesting. Okay. I just like DeJean more than any other corner. Pretty close. But yeah, I think DeJean, I don't know, man. That's an impossible pick.
It's just such a heavy man coverage system that it's not really what they ran at Iowa. We'll see. I mean, maybe DeJean's that good and they can just make it fit. Now you've made my decision.
Who would you have done? Would you have taken Wiggins or would you have done a D lineman?
I think there's a lot of I think there's a lot of players here I could have thought about. Jerzon Newton
or Bo Nix, honestly.
Nate Wiggins. The Cousins situation makes that hard. Bo Nix, it would be a good fit for Bo Nix. It would. Even Dallas Turner off the edge, I would have thought about. There's a lot of guys you could. That's one of the harder ones for sure because they could improve in a lot of areas. We have here Denver next at 12. This was a hard one too.
Russell Wilson's gone, right? They're gonna cut him.
Yes.
So what are you gonna do? Are you gonna take Bo?
I think I'm gonna. The more times I went through this, and the more times he was on the board, and Bo Nix just feels like a Sean Payton pick. Yeah. I don't know why. Something about him with Sean Payton just feels like it makes sense. I really efficient, really accurate, not the biggest arm on the planet, but we already know who Sean Payton's had success with there. I'm not saying at all. They need a lot of weapons too. They need to improve a lot of parts of their football team before they were to get to that level. But it just feels like the Sean Payton pick. I don't know. I think, you know, they don't have a horrible offensive line. They need to try to keep Cushenberry there at center. But I think Bo Nix is kind of what Sean Payton's looking for, right? He's accurate. He's going to make the reads. He's got to teach him to play under center. I thought he looked a little uncomfortable under center at the Senior Bowl. But this something about that pairing just makes sense to me. I can't. It's almost a gut feeling kind of thing, but I'm going to take Bo Nix here for Denver.
Okay. All right, that leaves me with the Las Vegas Raiders here at number 13. They also could use a quarterback, but there's none here. I mean, everyone's gone. Penix is gone. Bo Nix is gone. I'm not taking JJ McCarthy. I don't know. I don't care how many times Eli flashes his name up there. I'm gonna do Jerzon Newton. I think Vegas really needs to improve that middle of the defensive line. Their highest graded D tackle this year was Jerry Tillery, who was 40th overall this year. They really need help on that interior defensive line, and I think Jerzon Newton is pretty clearly the top D tackle in this year's draft and arguably a top 10 player in this year's draft. We have him, I think, number 10 on the big board right now. So I'm going to take Jerzon Newton here for Vegas, and I think another guy we interviewed, so check out that interview, terrific guy. I'm excited to see him at the combine, but I think this is a great fit for him here at Vegas, and I apologize to Eli, who we're just kind of taking away a lot of his picks right now, Dalton, for the Bengals coming up at 18, but I'm taking him here, Jerzon Newton, to the Las Vegas Raiders.
He'll be okay. He'll wind up with something pretty good, I think. He'll be all right. So you've got Newton here. The Saints were another weird one here at 14, I think. There's several areas they need. Fuaga would be in serious consideration here, but the problem is as a right tackle, you've got Ryan Ramczyk in the way, but Ramczyk, there's been rumors with the accumulation of knee injuries he's had that he might be thinking about hanging it up. There's kind of been some whispers with him. If I'm assuming he's going to stay, then I don't think any one of these right tackles, Fuaga, J.C. Latham, are the pick here. The Saints need help in the trenches on both sides of the ball. So I think that's definitely where I would lean in on. I think the best fit, I'm looking off the edge here, and I'm thinking about their defense and the way Dennis Allen runs it. This might be surprising. We haven't had an edge player taken yet. No. This might be surprising to some, considering the other guys in this group. I think they're all very similar, and I think much like the quarterbacks at the top, you need the right fit. I'm actually going to take Jared Verse out of Florida State here.
I like that.
They A lot more four-man front. I like Turner and Latu for their versatility to stand up, and I think there's other defenses they might fit better in. But you look at the Saints' two starting defensive ends, Cam Jordan and Carl Granderson, both of their pass rush grades this year around 63. Cam Jordan is going to be 35 next year coming into the season. They need a lot of help on the defensive line. They went interior with Brian Brzee last year. I would have thought about doubling up with Newton here had you not taken him. I think Jared Verse among these edge players fits their defense the best, and I'm going in that direction.
Okay. All right, so Jared Verse to the Saints. Man, they seem to be taking an edge defender in the first round like once every 2 years, it feels like, with them. But I like that pick a lot for the Saints. Colts here at 15. They need a corner, man. Bad. They really need corners helping that secondary. I mean, Kenny Moore is a pretty good slot corner, but other than that, you know, got Juju Brents, you got Jalen Jones, you got Daryl Baker Jr. So on PFF's big board, you can find at PFF.com. Nate Wiggins is the next corner here, and he's a number 13 overall player. I am actually going to go with a different corner here, and I'm going to disagree with Trevor. I don't do that often because he's one of the best draft analysts in the game, but I think the next corner after DeJean that I would take, and it's pretty close between the two of them, is Kool-Aid McKinstry, who is, I believe, number 23 on our big board. He actually has Quinyon Mitchell above him, and he has Terrion Arnold, Kool-Aid's teammate. Terrion Arnold had a great year this year, don't get me wrong, but the reason why Terrion Arnold had such a great year is because the quarterbacks that they faced did not look at Kool-Aid McKinstry. He is a lockdown corner. And I understand that Arnold's a better athlete and McKinstry's speed's a little bit of a question mark. But man, for 2 years, this guy has been a lockdown corner for Alabama. And he's the biggest reason why Terrion Arnold was able to have the year he did is because he faced so many targets with Kool-Aid McKinstry just being ignored on that side of the field. So I love Kool-Aid. I think he's being slept on, honestly, in this draft process. I can't believe he's falling down boards even more than Trevor has him at 23. I've seen people have him much lower than that, too. I don't understand it. I think he's a top 15 player probably in this draft. And for the Colts who need a lockdown outside corner, I think this fits them perfectly. So I'm taking Kool-Aid McKinstry here to the Colts here at 15.
I like it. I like it a lot. I'm with you. I'm a big believer in Kool-Aid. I think he's just this year he didn't put up a ton of like the pass breakup numbers because honestly teams just didn't throw his way. I really like that a lot. They need that kind of presence on the back end over there. They just get shredded too often, especially on deep shots on the outside. Looking at Kool-Aid here. Looking at 16 with Seattle, my mind immediately goes to their front seven on defense. It just too often, especially the second half of the year, just got blasted up front. And they just continue, especially when they're competing with a San Francisco and even against the Rams now, just too many mismatches, especially on the D-line. I think there's two guys I'm thinking about here, and I immediately go to the part now where Mike McDonald being a little more multiple in their defense now coming from Baltimore. This is kind of a split decision, but I'm going to lean towards kind of the Ravens tendency. Sometimes I used to lean on some of these Alabama guys, and I'm going to bring that with Mike McDonald. I think it's Dallas Turner here at 16 to Seattle. Can stand up, can put his hand in the dirt. I think McDonald's going to bring the versatile defense with him. I think you're going to see a little more flat looks, man-to-man looks, a lot more blitzing. You know, man-to-man on the back end with Witherspoon and Woolen and those guys. But they need a pass rusher. I like the combination, I think, of Dallas Turner and Boye Mafe is a really, really good start. And I think part of the allure to me, and I thought about Latu here too, it's really a coin flip, is a stand-up edge rusher in this defense. I think that's big time. I was very in between. If you went Latu here too, I wouldn't even hate it. But I think I'm rolling with Dallas Turner. It just feels like I think the type of edge rusher that Mike McDonald wants in his defense.
Yeah, I like that pick a lot. I think Dallas Turner is a great fit. Latu falling on the board right now is kind of crazy. I would have I love Latu, and I think he might be a top 15. I think he is a top 15 player, I should say, in this draft. But I don't know. Dude, Jacksonville here at 17, they already took Trayvon Walker. I know they're kind of – he hasn't looked great in his 2 years so far, but he was the number one overall pick. Josh Allen, they could lose pretty soon. So maybe they would go Latu here, but I mean –
I wish I had this pick. I know what I would do.
I'm curious. All right, so I'll ask you after I make the pick because I'm kind of in between a lot right now. I will go. I know Eli is crossing his fingers and toes. I'm not taking a tackle here, and I won't take a tackle. I don't think they need a tackle, but he's up at next at 18. I'm going to go. You know what? Give me a. Give me the guy who was locked down in the Senior Bowl. I mean, just absolutely fantastic. The big question with him, Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, the big question with him was, you know, can he handle press coverage? Because he's an off-coverage guy at Toledo, never really played press coverage. He was fantastic at Toledo. He's been the highest graded corner, I think, each of the past two seasons. Went to the Senior Bowl, played a lot of press coverage, and was fantastic. It looked like he's been playing press coverage his entire life, honestly. And Jacksonville could use help in the secondary. Yeah, give me Quinyon Mitchell here at 17 for Jacksonville. I think he might be the pick here for the Jaguars.
I don't hate that. It's as loaded a group of corners as there is in football. If you're talking about Campbell, Mitchell, and Darius Williams, really, really good. I'm gonna be honest. I think if Fuaga were to fall this far to Jacksonville at 17, I would take him. I would take Fuaga if I were the Jags, and I would move Anton Harrison to the left side. Because he played the right side all this year. I would move Harrison to the left side and Fuaga on the right side. I believe they were either the worst or the second worst run-blocking team in football this year.
Yeah.
That's a spot I would move things around and put Fuaga at right tackle in Jacksonville. That's just me. I have a feeling I know where he's going now that you took Mitchell in Jacksonville.
Yeah, wait. Eli said... I'm sprinting to the podium and taking Fuaga for the Bengals. Eli is running the Bengals pick here for us. So
I completely agree. If he gets to Cincinnati here and you've got Brown on the left side and Fuaga on the right side, same thing. I think either of these two teams ending up with Fuaga would be the dream scenario. And there you go, Eli. We left you your guy on the board. We didn't even mean to, but we did it.
Yeah, I think it works, man. I think that's I actually think Fuaga would be a great fit, too, with the Jaguars. I kind of almost regret the Quinyon Mitchell pick. Now I'm thinking about it even more, but I'm going to stick with it. I think Quinyon Mitchell will be great in that secondary. All right, 19 here, the Los Angeles Rams. I think they need a tackle. I think they need a tackle. And I really love J.C. Latham. I think he's a really underrated tackle. I think he's actually, you know, everyone keeps talking about Alt, Fashanu, Fuaga, like what's the order of those three? Honestly, if you have J.C. Latham above Talisa Fuaga, I don't think it's terrible. I think there's an argument to be made that he's could be better than Talisa Fuaga. Maybe even, you know, you can make an argument with Olu Fashanu as well. I think J.C. Latham is being really slept on. And I think that the Rams who really need tackles, who actually really, really need tackles, I think that they would go with someone here like J.C. Latham to pair with, you know, Rob Havenstein. Because, I mean, Alaric Jackson and Joe Noteboom are not great. And I think that J.C. Latham is a guy that's worthy of the 19th overall pick, and he fits a pretty big need, too. So I think J.C. Latham's a pretty slam-dunk pick here for the Rams at 19.
Yeah, I like it. Havenstein's getting older. Kevin Dotson is the best free agent guard in football this year. He may be gone. They still need help on their offensive line. I agree with that. I think this is a tough pick because you could go on either side of the ball here. And I know some people have projected this maybe as like a J.J. McCarthy sit under Stafford spot. But I think help in the trenches for a team like that is really I think it's the right move. I like that a lot. Moving. Let's see. Where are we moving? Pittsburgh now at 20. This is an interesting one. I'm sure some people are going to want J.J. McCarthy. Some people are going to want him to trade up we don't know their quarterback situation right now. It could be Justin Fields. Could Kirk be Cousins. Russell Wilson. Could be somebody new. Could still be Kenny Pickett. Regardless, I think, look, their offensive line, no matter who their quarterback is right now, is not good enough. It's just not. You know, Broderick Jones, they moved him to right tackle, even though he was a left tackle in college. I wasn't a big fan of it. It was passable. Their offensive line was just not good enough this year for them to succeed. And doing this, I think I did the mock draft simulator 5 or 6 times before we got on the show here, and I came out with the same pick every time, and it feels like I have to do it. Give me the best center in the draft, Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon. I just think the Steelers, they need to change this up front, man. They need to figure out free agency, draft, whatever they need to do to make this offensive line. Look, you can be a run-heavy team if you want. That's what they became the second half of the year. But if you can't block people, none of it matters. I think there's several teams on this list like that. I think, you know, the Jets are on that list. I think the Giants are on that list. I think the Steelers are on that list, man. Their offense looks the way it does, yes, because of the quarterbacks, but also they're just not good enough up front. I think Powers Johnson has been a lot of steam lately. He was clearly the best pass protector, not even close, at the Senior Bowl. Best pass protector, really, arguably, in all of college football this year, especially at the center position. I just think plug and play, put him in there, just like the Ravens did with Tyler Linderbaum, and let it rip.
I like that a lot. So the Steelers, man, they needed a center since, like, probably, like, what, Marquise Pouncey probably was the last good.
Yeah.
And even, like, he got overrated, too, I think, at the tail end of his career, too. So they haven't had a great center in a long time. And Powers Johnson, I mean, listen, he was by far – I mean, do you think any player dominated their position more than Jackson Powers Johnson did for centers this year?
No. Oh, the only other one would be Bowers at tight end.
Yeah. Even Bowers, like, missed a few games, too.
Right.
That's interesting. Yeah.
I mean, just what was it? One pressure all season?
I think he was wasn't he the highest graded pass blocking and run blocking grade for centers this year, right? Was both back Jackson Powers Johnston.
It might have been. I don't remember with the run blocking. He was at least in the top three.
Dude,
I don't remember. I think he was the only one with 85 plus in both.
Yeah, right? Something like that. And I remember people were like talking about him and like, oh yeah, he's a really good second round pick. Then he goes out to the Senior Bowl and dominates the Senior Bowl. And it's like, now he's a top 20 pick probably in the NFL draft. So yeah, love Jackson Powers Johnston. His parents always loved the show too. They always interact with our stuff when we were hyping him up before, you know, anyone else really was. And now, of course, he's this household name with how well he's played, not only this past season, but at the Senior Bowl. Also, another thing too, he was excellent at guard for Oregon. This is not like it's an only center guy. Like, he could play anywhere on the interior offensive line to succeed. So I think that's that versatility too is really valuable. All right, so here with the Miami Dolphins. Dude, there are so many players that are on the board that I can't believe are still on the board here. Like, Laiatu still here, Teron Arnold, Nate Wiggins. I'm not going to go with any of those guys, though. I'm going to go with Amarius Mims. I think Miami could still use some help on the offensive tackles front. I think Teron Armstead has been great, but he's getting up there in age for sure. I think that, you know, Austin Jackson had a kind of a bounce back year, which is good, but I don't think he's enough for me to pass on Amarius Mims here. So, you know, like I said, Teron Armstead, you're going to lose him probably pretty soon. Like I said, he's getting up there in age. I just think Miami could still stand to improve on that offensive line. Yeah, Teron Armstead's already like 33 years old. So keep improving on the offensive line, keep Tua upright. I would take probably Amarius Mims here, and the run on offensive linemen continues, honestly.
I like it. I like that. I think they're another one, especially in pass protection, that they need some help. And Mims, when he's been healthy, which has been the biggest problem, is a proven pass protector. It's just a matter of the health and all that. But no, I like it. Miami, I think they need it. Their offensive line, they just have a hard time in true dropback situations. And I think Mims could help that a lot. I'm with you. 22 here with the Eagles was a tough one. This is actually a harder one, and I know everybody's screaming that you take secondary, and you know what? This is a spot here. With the guys left on the board, wow.
This is tough. We're going to these picks are really hard.
This is a hard pick because, you know what? I thought Wiggins and Arnold would be gone by now. And they're running Vic Fangio's defense now. He's over there. I got to be honest. I was running these mocks assuming those two guys would be gone. And I was really, I was still really heavily thinking about actually Troy Franklin here. Mm. That this is a thought. They need somebody to either A, get, I mean, Brian Thomas makes sense too. Either A, get Devontae Smith in the slot almost full-time, or B, take a Troy Franklin as a movable piece like that. They don't have a slot receiver. It's just they need a third receiver, but, this secondary. I think if Nate Wiggins is on the board for Philly, I think they have to take him. I'm going to do it. This is actually a really tough call because they do need another receiver, but their secondary, I mean, it just costs them their season. And I think – Wiggins, the measure, he's got the best measurables of any corner in this draft. You see right there, he can play man or zone. I'm going to take Wiggins here. I think this is a best player available situation with Philly, and they just have to. And I know they already have Slay and Bradbury, but they just need help on the back end so bad. Yeah. It's just their back seven costs them their season this year.
All right, I'm up here with the Houston Texans via the Cleveland Browns here at 23.
How
outrageous would I don't even know if you've, how outrageous would Latu be?
I would love it.
That's what I'm considering. I know they need a receiver.
I would love it.
I know they need a receiver, man. But I'm at the point now. We're at 23, and it's like, how the heck is Latu still here?
I'll be real with you, Max. For me, the pick has to be one of these first two guys on the board right here. It has to.
Arnold or Latu?
I've been leaning heavily, actually, towards corner. When I've been thinking about the Texans, Latu and Anderson would be
that,
filthy.
And he fits the 3-4, dude.
I would love it.
I think I might take Latu. I'm at the point now where I'm like, I think Latu's maybe edge one in this entire draft, and he's still here. I can't believe he's still here. I'm going to take Latu. I know they need a receiver, I know, but I can't justify someone like Brian Thomas Jr. over Troy Franklin over Latu Lata. I'm not going to chase need that much where I'm going to take a guy that I think is way better in Latu Lata. I'm not going to pass him up. So I'm going to take Latu Lata here. I'm going to pair him with Will Anderson Jr. And I think he fits the scheme really well, too. So that's a pretty nasty edge duo for Houston right there.
I've been telling you a theme in this draft. There's going to be a really good player or two because of the quarterback run, if there's one early, and some of these tackles. There's going to be a player or two that drops lower than we think they should. And if Latu's that guy, boy, I just love that idea. Latu and Anderson, I mean, that's as good as it gets. This next one's a hard one, too. Dallas Cowboys. And I know Terrion Arnold's the top guy on the board left, but I don't think I can do it. They've got Trayvon Diggs. They've got Deron Bland. I'm not sure if they'll still have Stephon Gilmore another year. I don't remember that contract situation, but either way, they're loaded at corner. I think... For me, the best I could argue somebody like Byron Murphy here for the run defense, but there's not a ton of interior defenders in this draft, and I think I might go second round there for the Cowboys. Not that we're doing it today, but that's where I probably would go. Maybe the Cowboys are a prime team I'm looking at in round two, trying to get to Vondre Sweat somehow. I think right now with where we are on the board, I think Brian Thomas here makes a lot of sense. I think the best stretches of offense that Dallas played this year were when Brandon Cooks was getting open down the field, right? And threatening, if not catching the football, threatening the seams down the field and getting safeties to sit back while CD can work underneath. Brian Thomas is a vertical receiver. We've talked about it before, not as diverse as Malik Nabers at LSU, but he can get downfield, he can get vertical. And Dak, to me this year, nobody was better throwing the football up the seams than Dak Prescott. I think Brian Thomas's ability to get downfield and even the threat of him getting downfield, opening things up for CeeDee Lamb, sort of in a way that Brandon Cooks did, at least when Dak was running hot this year, I think that's a good fit for what they need. I don't think Michael Gallup has the speed to threaten like that anymore, and Brandon Cooks, I don't know if he brought them as much this year as they thought. He was kind of used a little bit more as a decoy, but I think Brian Thomas can fill that void.
Yeah, I like that pick a lot. I think that's a good pick, and I think Dallas, who kind of going all in on 2024, or else Mike McCarthy's looking for a new job, I think that's they're going to need another threat in that passing game. Besides, you know, CeeDee Lamb is kind of carrying it on his shoulders all year. I think Brian Thomas Jr. can take some of that pressure off his shoulders. All right, Packers here at 25. I'm kind of sprinting this pick in. It is Terrion Arnold. I think the Packers, outside of Jaire Alexander, really need help at corner, man. I mean, Keyshawn Nixon, Corey Ballantyne, and Carrington Valentine are the only guys other than Jaire Alexander they have. Terrion Arnold's, a top 20 player on our big board. Super athletic guy. Played fantastic this past season for Alabama. I think he's the pick here for Green Bay to help out Jaire Alexander and, you know, be that number two corner alongside him.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with that. The Packers need a lot of safety help. They have a ton of safeties that are free agents. I think actually right now they only have one safety under contract, but there's not really much for first round safety options. No. I think that's a round two thing. They do need help in coverage all the way around for sure. And I think Arnold's a good pick there. I don't hate that at all. 26 to Tampa Bay. You could go a lot of directions here with the Bucs, man. I don't think they need a tackle. They don't need a tackle. Interior isn't happening right now. I actually think it's the top guy there on the board. I think it's Braylon Trice.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
I think so. Just looking at these options, this would be another spot I would think about Troy Franklin. The Evans-Godwin situation is kind of weird right now. But they struggle to get home with four, you know, without blitzing. Braylon Trice led the nation in pressures at the end of this year. He was Washington's best defensive player by far. The Bucs, Shaq Barrett's getting a little older and hasn't quite looked the same since, I believe, it was an Achilles injury. I like Braylon Trice here to kind of reset themselves on the edge. I don't think they've gotten as much out of past D-line picks as they feel they should have, and I think they swing again here with Braylon Trice.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I mean, I think Braylon Trice, I mean, he's been phenomenal for a couple of years now at Washington. I think, you know, they could use help, especially at edge defender. All right, Arizona here at 27. You already took Marvin Harrison Jr., so they kind of addressed that receiver need already. Although, I mean, if you double up and get Troy Franklin, I wouldn't hate it. I'm not going to do that. There's a couple angles I'm looking here. I'm looking at tackle. I think you can take a tackle like Jordan Morgan here. You could look at potentially corner and take someone like Ennis Rickstraw Jr. The guy I'm actually probably going to go with, though, here at 27 is Byron Murphy, the D-tackle from Texas. Fantastic pass rusher for Texas this past year. Made up by far the best tackle duo in the country between him and Tavondre Sweat. But Tavondre Sweat's more of a kind of a run stuffer. Byron Murphy's a really good pass rusher. And you look at the Cardinals' interior defensive line last year, man, they had almost nothing in terms of pass rushing ability in the middle of that defensive line. So I think Byron Murphy would fit a pretty big need for them here at 27. I think this is right around where I'd take him to. And I think you get Marvin Harrison Jr., you get Byron Murphy. I mean, I think that's a pretty good haul here for the Cardinals in the first round.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think you keep setting the tone in the trenches there with Murphy. They need a lot of help in their front seven. I think the worst run D grade by far in football this past year. It's going to be with Harrison in there. I mean, Harrison, McBride, Brown, Greg Dortch is a nice player in the slot. I like him. Kyler Murray, especially with his feet. I think their offense is starting to get in good hands. They need a lot of help in their front seven to start moving forward. Buffalo here at 28. This is a weird one. This is tough because Buffalo's defense is not as good as people think it is.
Yeah.
If you take out like the Washington game and the second Jet game, it was really a below average unit. And you want to know a weird fact I found about their playoff game against Kansas City?
Huh.
That was the lowest defensive grade we've ever given to the Bills in a game.
Wow.
Yeah. I ever in since 05 or 06, ever.
Yeah.
But it's hard also not to think you should just keep building this team around Josh Allen. It's a hard one. Joe Brady staying as the OC.
Man. I know why I do here.
I'm just trying to think, is Troy Franklin too repetitive
in their offense? Yeah, that's who I was going to go with. That's a good point, though.
Is he repetitive when you think about a lot of guys built similar with Diggs and Franklin and Shakir? I love Khalil Shakir in the slot. I think he's an excellent player. Are you sitting there thinking about Coleman?
I was going to say Troy Franklin, but Coleman's not a bad option either. I was thinking Troy Franklin, though. That's who I'd probably go with here if I was you.
Yeah. You know what? I think it's Troy Franklin. There's some I think it's There's some defensive options here too. I get it. But I think they need help in the front. Chris Braswell would be a thought too, but let's go with Franklin and just try to supercharge this offense with a little more speed. It was just so clear too, on top of the defensive issues, that in that Chiefs game, nobody could separate.
Yeah,
I mean, if you know, this too often with the Bills, where if you can cover Diggs, you're in business. So I think, you know what, I think that's the right move. I think Diggs, Franklin, Shakir, Kincaid, and Cook sounds like something they could work with. And he's, again, he's movable, kind of like Diggs. I know they don't have, that's not, there's not a lot of size in there, but I'm, you know, I kind of wonder sometimes if that matters less than ever. Like, it's more of a luxury than a necessity to have a guy that's 6'5 like that. If you have guys that can separate, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a weird one.
It is weird. I do like Troy Franklin, though, in Buffalo. All right, I'm here with the Lions. I am definitely attacking corner here. Besides Brian Branch, who was fantastic as a rookie, the next highest graded corner for Detroit was Jerry Jacobs, who was 92nd in overall grade this year. I mean, they really, really struggle at corner. I'm actually not going to go with the guy who's the number one corner on the big board, though, which is Ennis Rakestraw Jr. I'm going to go with Kamari Lassiter. I think Kamari Lassiter is a guy who's really been underrated throughout this whole draft process. He's terrific in man coverage, lockdown corner for Georgia. He's been great for 2 years now. I'm going to go with him, man. I think he's a guy that, again, I think has really been underrated. I would take him in the first round of the draft. We have him right at number 32, so he's right in that first round range. I would take him over Ennis Rakestraw Jr. here, and I think Kamari Lassiter would be the guy that I go with if I'm the Detroit Lions here at 29.
Absolutely. Third lowest cover grade in football as a team, the Lions. I think after week 6, they were the worst by a lot. That's just what they need. I think a story that hasn't been talked about enough coming out of the 49er game is, you know, I know they talk about Dan Campbell, but their defense, their back seven is just not good enough to make or win a Super Bowl yet. It's not. And I think a player like Lassiter would help them a whole lot. I just think, even if it, like, they're a team too, like, if McKinstry were to fall, like some people are projecting.
Oh my god, dude, can you imagine? That'd be the best pick of the draft, I think, honestly, if they fell to 29.
I with all the guys they signed in free agency last year, I don't think they planned for Brian Branch to be by far their best player in the secondary.
Dude, you get Kool-Aid and Brian Branch team up again too. They both played together at Alabama. I think that'd be be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be another spot, but that's a spot they have to go with. You know what? You know what's funny? When I was looking at some film earlier in the week, this is actually a deeper group of corners than I thought it was.
Yeah.
There is a lot of good corners in this draft. Even a couple of later round ones.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be a story of this draft.
Yeah.
Is how many darn good corners are sitting even in rounds 2 and 3.
I agree.
I see a couple on the board even in front of us here where I'm like, man, those are good football players. But
yeah,
we have here Baltimore at 30. Some arguments they could go corner here. Maybe could use another pass rusher. I think, to me, that playoff game made it all too obvious. I don't think they got out of Odell Beckham what they thought they were getting.
Oh, don't do it. Don't do it.
Only two games of it with at least 60 yards, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, two big games, I think, against the Rams and against the Bengals. Not good secondaries. Just in their playoff game, they did not have just enough. It was Zay Flowers and nothing. Likely is solid. Love Isaiah Likely. He's a PFF favorite, especially back when he was at Coastal. Love Mark Andrews. They need another threat outside. And It's not the guy that Eli just pulled up there.
Okay, all right.
Actually, this is the spot. I know what you want. I actually am about it. This is the spot I think Keon Coleman makes a lot of sense.
I like that. I do like that.
I think Flowers working underneath, Andrews working wherever he's working, and Likely has a lot of after the catch. I think a guy like Keon Coleman making contested catches is something they're missing.
Yeah, I agree.
Beckham just doesn't have the juice anymore, man. You know, and they're relying in big spots on guys like Nelson Agholor and I hate to say it, but they kind of whiffed on Rashad Bateman too. And I know he's had some injury problems. They need another threat. Zay Flowers is awesome. I love that kid, man. He's so good. But they need something else out there. They just did not have another answer other than Flowers in the playoffs, especially. I'll take Keon Coleman here. They need some size.
I love that fit. I was hoping you were going to go the top receiver because I'm going to take him here next. But I think that's a great point you made, though. It's just like if you take McConkey, it'd be kind of repetitive in that offense. And especially now, man, with how good Lamar has been as a passer before, you know, when they were not taking receivers and everyone's screaming at them for it, it was like, oh, they're just going to run the ball all the way. And, you know, Lamar is one of the best runners in the game. Now Lamar is going to win his second MVP. Became one of the best passers in the league. Now it's like, all right, you better surround him with some weapons. And I think that Keon Coleman would be a great fit in that offense. I'm going to go here with Ladd McConkey here to the Kansas City Chiefs here at 31. They made a great pick in Rashee Rice in this year's draft, this past draft, getting him in the second round from SMU. After that, though, you got Travis Kelce, of course, who's a legendary tight end, but he's 34 years old, so you don't know how long he's going to be keep playing. Then you got Justin Watson, you got Sky Moore, you got Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Now, Valdes-Scantling has played well in this playoff stretch for sure, but you need another receiver, especially when Travis Kelce, you know, rumors about him potentially retiring sooner than we might think, and maybe he goes out the same time as Jason Kelce. Maybe that way they're both first bout Hall of Famers. They both get inducted the same Hall of Fame ceremony. I don't know if Jason will get in first bout like Travis would, but that could be a thing that they're looking at too. Especially with Travis, all of his off the field stuff that he's got going on for him now. I mean, that guy is living life, man. I mean, he is living the good life right now, dating Taylor Swift. I think he loves playing football. He's always said that he's going to play until the wheels come off, and I don't think he's going to retire after this year, but I do think the Kansas City Chiefs need to look at themselves in the mirror and say, hey, we got Patrick Mahomes for the next decade plus. We are not going to have Travis Kelce for the next decade plus. We better find some freaking weapons for Mahomes to deal to. You got Rashee Rice already, like I said, but after that, you need another one. I think Ladd McConkey, great route runner, going to get open for Patrick Mahomes, going to catch the football too, which is something that's very important for Kansas City receivers now. I think this would be a great pick for them. I think whoever is available here at 31, whether it be Ladd McConkey, whether it be Troy Franklin, whether it be Adonai Mitchell, Keon Coleman, gotta take a receiver at 31. And I think I would probably take Ladd McConkey first out of all those guys.
I think out of all those guys you've mentioned, that McConkey's the best fit for their offense. The route running, the separation is just so good. I think it's the same reason. It's the same reasons that Rashee Rice has succeeded, right? And Rice, I think, has a little more yards after catch ability, but McConkey, it's why I didn't take McConkey for the Ravens. I don't think that fits as well.
Yeah.
Right. I think the fit for the Chiefs, I actually mentioned this to somebody yesterday. If I'm the Chiefs at 31, 32, I would really, really think about McConkey. I just think it fits. It's just that thing of like Andy Reid, he just likes dudes that get open.
Yeah.
Like, and I know Tyreek Hill used to do it because he's blazing fast, but like that's always been kind of his MO. I think McConkey's a really good fit there. I think it's somebody they should think about. And he separated like crazy at the Senior Bowl too.
Yeah.
You could argue he was the best receiver out there, honestly. He just smooth, man. The more you watch him, the more you like him. He's one of those ones. Mm-hmm. And I think that's such a great fit. That's the same pick I would have made if I had Kansas City. But you gave me the hard one. believe it or not, there's a lot of directions San Francisco could go, whether they're at 31 or 32. Corner would make some sense. Offensive line would make some sense. Man. D-line would make some sense. There's like five or six guys here I could think about with this pick.
Interesting. I think the top three you see on the big board right there, those are the three that I probably zero in on if I'm them. I don't know.
That's a hard one. Oh, man. The problem is, like, I always have a thing about left side, right side with tackles, right? And you've got, like, two of those top three tackles there are left tackles. And then Guyton as a right tackle makes sense positionally.
I almost think corner is the biggest need for them. So it depends on whether or not you think Rakestraw is a fit in that defense. I think corner is the top
need. I actually don't. If you want my honest opinion, and I think it's a problem they could have on Sunday, we should also do a Super Bowl prediction before we're done. But
good point.
Their biggest problem right now is their run defense and their defensive tackles.
Mm-hmm.
There is a name a little further down the board that's jumping out at me for what they need.
Devondre Sweat, is who you're thinking of for a second round?
Where is he at? He's there.
I wouldn't go this would game be 32, but yeah.
Well, I mean, this would be a good trade back spot too if we could trade back. Like trading out of this pick, I wouldn't hate either.
Get a team that needs that wants to get McCarthy fifth year option for sure. Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna highlight it. I'm gonna reach a couple of spots here. There are guys in the top. Boy, I could even think about Jonah Ellis off the edge, man. I mean, Chase Young's gonna be a free agent. They're not that deep on the D line, and I'm gonna tell you, they signed Hargrave, but that didn't fix a run defense at all.
Yeah.
Elite pass rusher. I'm actually, you know what? I'm gonna go kind of meat and potatoes just to highlight it. Give me Chris Jenkins from Michigan. Okay. And I think it's a thing where they could certainly trade back a handful of spots and still get him. But I don't think it's being said enough, like in this Super Bowl, the advantage that Kansas City's interior offensive line has against the 49ers' defensive tackles. When they played last year, they blasted them. It's been a big, big problem. Okay, right now, the 49ers' run defense is essentially Fred Warner bailing out the defensive line.
Yeah,
and at some point they have to fix this. It's a problem. There's a real chance even in this game that the Chiefs have balance. The Lions ran all over them. The Packers ran very well on it. It's not been a very good run defense lately. This defense, I highlighted it in the preseason that their defensive interior and the depth is a major issue in San Francisco, and they get bailed out because they have great run defenders behind them like Warner and Greenlaw and Gibson, but. It's a problem. When they play teams that can handle them inside, it's a real issue. And I don't think it's being said enough that the Niners have real flaws in the trenches. There are several guys I could go with there, but I think Chris Jenkins, one of the best run defenders for Michigan this year, he slides right in. I would start him right away. I mean, Hargrave, great pass rusher, not a great run defender. And you know, they've kind of – Javon Kinlaw, I don't think, has given them so far what he's needed to give them. They need to improve inside on both sides of the ball, but I'm going to highlight the defense this time.
All right. So the final pick of the first round is Chris Jenkins from Michigan. So just to recap for our audio-only listeners, we can go over the entire first round right here. Caleb Williams goes first overall to the Bears. Jaden Daniels goes second to the Commanders. Drake May third to the Patriots. Marvin Harrison Jr. number four to the Cardinals. Brock Bowers at five to the Chargers. Malik Nabers at six to the Giants. Joe Alt seven to the Titans. Michael Penix Jr. at eight to the Falcons. Roma Dunze at nine to the Bears. Olu Fashanu at 10 to the Jets. Cooper DeJean at 11 to the Vikings. 12, Bo Nix to the Broncos. Jerzon Newton, 13 to the Raiders. Jared Verse, 14 to the Saints. Kool-Aid McKinstry, 15 to the Colts. Dallas Turner, 16 to the Seahawks. Quinyon Mitchell, 17 to the Jaguars. Talisa Fuaga, 18 to the Bengals. J.C. Latham, 19 to the Rams. Jackson Powers Johnson at 20 to the Steelers, Marius Mims at 21 to the Dolphins, Nate Wiggins 22 to the Eagles, Latu Latu at 23 to the Texans, Brian Thomas Jr. at 24 to the Cowboys, Terron Arnold at 25 to the Packers, Braylon Trice 26 to the Bucks, Byron Murphy the D tackle at 27 to the Cardinals, Troy Franklin 28 to the Bills, Kamari Lassiter 29 to the Lions, Keon Coleman 30 to the Ravens, Ladd McConkey 31 to the Chiefs, and Chris Jenkins at 32. To the 49ers. That's what we got for our first 2024 NFL mock draft of the NFL draft season. We're gonna do hopefully more as we get closer to the NFL draft, and of course we got our all eligible mock draft that Dalton and I are very excited to get into as well, where every college football player is eligible, not just the guys who are in this year's draft. So we're excited to do that as well. But yeah, man, you mentioned it before, we got the Super Bowl this weekend, final football game of the season, which is kind of sad, but we're gonna get some exciting stuff in the offseason. Who do you ultimately think is gonna come up with the who's gonna win the big game this upcoming Sunday?
I like the Chiefs a lot.
So do I.
In this game. I actually think the Niners would have much rather played the Ravens. The way their defense has been playing lately and the way it stacks up against Mahomes is not favorable. The interior, Creed Humphrey and those guys on the interior can give the Chiefs balance. They've run the ball well in their previous matchups with San Fran. And honestly, I'm such a believer in this Kansas City secondary. Like, I think if the Niners fall behind, they have a big problem.
Yeah.
I think they have a huge problem if they fall behind. They have to get out ahead. They have to ride McCaffrey in the play action. And I'm just going to be honest. I know Brock Purdy, you know, against the Packers, he had the last drive. Second half, he was a lot better against Detroit. But those are two defenses that are not good. Those are not near the same caliber defense that this Chiefs team is playing right now. I think, honestly, if it's not the best secondary in football, it's in the argument. It's certainly the deepest second. You've got seven guys on the back end who can really play. I actually like the Chiefs a lot in this game. I'm going to take them 31-20.
Interesting. All right, I'm going to take the Chiefs as well. I'm not as confident in it as you are, but I do think, man, it's hard to go against Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl against Brock Purdy. I just think he's done it before. He's done it twice before, going for his third now. Got Travis Kelce there. I agree. I think the Chiefs' run game could actually be more of a factor than people think in this game. But I also think that San Fran, for them to win this game, kind of just do the opposite of what Baltimore did, where Baltimore, they abandoned the run, it felt like, in that AFC title game. And that is how you beat the Chiefs' defense, is you establish the run. And I think if they did that more, instead of trying to play catch-up and thinking, oh, it's Patrick Mahomes on the other side, we have to score every single time we touch the ball, play more methodical. I mean, you saw the Bills. The Bills ran the ball very effectively in the divisional round. That's why that game went down to the final seconds, is because they just blood the clock, kept Patrick Mahomes on the sideline, and did that. That's, I think, the avenue for the 49ers to win this game. And I think they have the guys to win this game to do that as well. Christian McCaffrey, that offensive line, the play action, like you mentioned with Brock Purdy, they need to establish a run and keep to it and not abandon it like the Ravens did. I think that's the way for them to win this game. I'm going with the Chiefs, but I do think that the 49ers match up pretty well with Kansas City's kind of porous run defense, whereas everything else in the Chiefs' defense has been fantastic. The only place where it's kind of been struggling has been in the run game. They're actually, I think, one of the five worst in terms of EPA per run allowed this year in the NFL. So I'm going with the Chiefs, but I think it's going to be a close game, and I do think there's a pretty clear way for San Francisco to win this game. Yeah. All right, that's what we got, man, for our 2024 NFL mock draft. For before the Super Bowl, we're going to be at the Combine in a couple weeks, too. Dolph Dalton and I, so hopefully we'll do a live show together, which we did once or twice before, actually, and do that and do some more college content for sure. But, yeah, appreciate you guys for watching. Appreciate you guys for listening. Please subscribe to the channel. Please subscribe to the audio only as well, Spotify, Google, Apple, whatever. And, yeah, man, we'll talk to you guys next time. So for producer Eli back there, for Dalton Wasserman, I'm Max Chadwick, and we'll see you guys next time.